You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, wrapping up our first hour here on CBD. Still to come at 2 o'clock, Dane Brugler will join us from CBSSports.com, their draft expert. Just 2 days, we'll ask him, Dane Brugler, what he thinks about the people who are falling right now, given all that they have done, all of the kind of bad behavior that we have seen on display here in leading up to the draft, Shane Ray, Randy Gregory, etc. We will get his take on those people when he joins us at 2 p.m. here. 216-578-0850 is the way to join us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. I love Carlos Dansby. It's always a pleasure to talk to him. We're going to have to check out some Montez Renault to make sure we we got to make it the official skincare product of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Yeah, Fact or Fiction or the Friday something. Forecast sponsor, yeah. Or some sort. Yeah, I wouldn't mind checking that out. But more so than anything, what I love is, and you kind of had to read between his comments, with him making reference to the culture that has been created here in Cleveland, talking about the way in which we work and some of the new additions had a little caught off guard by how hard we work. And that's a huge step in the right direction.
What does that mean to you when you hear that as a former player who knows what this offseason workout, what does that mean to you? What is he saying?
That means some of the other guys that came in that hadn't been here in Cleveland for last season, they're caught off guard by how intensive this phase one approach that the Cleveland Browns have taken to this upcoming football season actually is. That means we're running more. They're running more of, more gassers. They're working hard in the weight room. They're expected. And the other thing that I hope is happening, it's the culture's been created, and they're starting to push each other even already. You know, when it comes to power clean, squats, bench press, sprints, whatever it is, turn everything into a race. Turn everything into competition.
Talk a little smack.
Yeah, throw another plate on there, dude. You know what I mean? Come on, and then just talking that smack, because it's all coming from such a good place because you're a team, and you're in it together. But you want to create those little rivalries between each other, in position groups, wide receivers versus DBs. Who's going to make every gasser? We're going to finish first. Those little things, to trickle down into watching a little bit extra film. Because if you can work a little harder in the weight room, you can watch a little extra film or dive in and reel in that one teammate who's watching, maybe not watching enough film. You don't have to call him out and make a spectacle of him in front of your teammates, but you just grab him by his wrist and tug him into the room with you. And little things like that are all bonding issues that bring you tighter and tighter, that when the going gets tough, and it always does, even for the best teams, you don't ever break.
What were the differences you noticed in San Diego versus San Francisco versus Green Bay for this type of stuff? And these were all winning teams.
Yeah.
Well, the Niners weren't, I guess, at that
the
point.
Niners were one of the most talented teams that I had been on. Being so bad for so long, they had number one draft picks on both sides of the ball. And I think San Diego was the perfect culmination of leadership, extreme high-level talent, but also still so humble, because San Diego, a lot like Cleveland, hadn't won a championship in a very long time, hadn't really been relevant for a very long time, and had been the whooping boy of their division, with the Raiders being the dominant force and the Chiefs playing very good football, and the Broncos with the Elway days and Terrell Davis and so on and so forth. The Chargers were even during, a Hall of Famer's career, Junior Seau, they didn't win a lot of football games. They were just bad, and he was just the star. And so we had to change the culture, but a lot of it had to do with and why the pressure is on Ray Farmer is to go out and find the right guys, find the performers that can change the face of your franchise. And we did that with LaDainian Tomlinson being a class act and a producer. We did that with the likes of Drew Brees, who was not a first-round pick, Phillip Rivers, who was a first-round pick, I think drafted fifth overall by the New York Giants, then traded to the Chargers. Sean Merriman, another guy, 12th overall, right where the Cleveland Browns pick, who came in. And his play, Sean Phillips, another guy, was a double-digit sack guy. I think he was a fourth-round pick as well. So didn't find all the, didn't hit in the first round consistently every single year, but they went out and found good guys who went all in towards their goal, which was potentially, winning the division first, and then making a run at the Super Bowl.
How long does it take for a rookie player to come in and feel comfortable? Is it directly linked to how well they're playing?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with that. In some cases,
like Joel Bitonio came in and was playing well. He was going to be a starter from day one, so he's probably going to be the quickest
person. He was having dinner and beers with Joe Thomas and Alex Mack like in a week. Once he passed the eye test and proved it on the football field, he was accepted socially within the locker room immediately because of the impact he was going to make on the. He could have been a bad guy. And maybe not an a-hole, but a bad guy, just real quiet guy. But you're going to accept him and bring him into your circle because he's producing on Sundays for you. And that is, in some cases, turns into wins. You want a bunch of those guys. But if you are, for a rookie, I would say by the 2 weeks into training camp, because when you put pads on, and I know they don't do it, very often anymore in the new end of the new collective bargaining agreement, when you put the pads on and you see a guy perform and do it day after day after day, and just like a coach wants to see consistency, out of his players, like Bill Belichick he'd rather have the consistent guy instead of the spikes.
That's right.
And spikes, and the players want to see the same thing. They want you to be the same guy, when you walked in the door, and the same guy when you're the famous, leading wide receiver on this roster. Don't let it all go to your head. Be the same guy, and you'll be accepted, and you're a part of that winning culture that you hope to create.
The Browns hope to create more of a winning culture in this draft. 10 players, hopefully they have 10 picks. I think they'll move some of them, maybe 7-8 players probably added to the Browns team. 2 in the first round, numbers 12 and 19. They've got 4 of the first 77, 6 of the first 115 as they get ready to go to Chicago and make these selections in just 2 days. Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com will be with us next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Get your Twitter questions in now. Use @Browns_daily, @NathanZagura, and get us those questions for Dane Brugler right now. And we will ask CBS's resident draft guru what he thinks is going to happen. We'll talk to him about Shane Ray and Randy Gregory quite a bit as well. That's all coming up next here on ESPN 850 WKNC.